Can you open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6, if you don't have a Bible, you can put your hand up, we'll get you one. I would encourage you to have your Bibles with you all the time. The Word of God is what transforms us. And if we don't have the Word of God, no transformation. So you're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. And as we all know, most of us know, some of you haven't been here so you don't know, we're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount was Jesus' first sermon. And he's giving it to a Jewish audience that were very religious, but were getting it all wrong. And also in that crowd were his disciples, the apostles. And they were actually hadn't been sent out yet, so the disciples at the time, they were there, and he's speaking to them also. We're in our fourth week of looking at what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer, which we call the model prayer. And the reason we call it the model prayer is it's a prayer that Jesus gave us as a model of how we ought to pray. So it's a model prayer that Jesus gave to us, gave to his disciples and gave to us. I'm really excited about what's happening as we're going through this model prayer. Our congregation's prayer life is changing. It's happening. Many of you can testify to how your life, your prayer life, is changing. And it's very exciting to see God reveal himself and Jesus to give us a model. And then as we learn about that, we actually change. And our prayer lives are being dramatically shifted. There's this thing happening around here that I've talked to some of you about this week, but what's happening is there's this collision that's happening. We're all learning who God is, who God truly is. And as we learn who God truly is, and it collides with who we've learned him to be or who we want him to be, it's very painful. Because who God is who God is. And when it doesn't line up with who we want him to be, or who we've been taught that he is, there's a collision that happens. And I'm so thankful for that. I praise God for that. I praise God that many of you understand exactly what I'm talking about. And you're having your concept of God shattered by truth. And it's painful. But this is who God is. And I'm thankful that this collision's happening, that we're having this unsettling, this wrestling in our congregation. Now, Jesus had just told this Jewish audience that their prayer lives were a mess. And as we talked about, Jews prayed. Remember, they had those prayers they said each day. They prayed a lot. And he was telling them, look, your prayer life's a mess. He's telling some of us, your prayer life's a mess. You've been praying, but you've been praying self-centeredly and all wrong. So he just told them that. They prayed to be seen by men, right? They prayed with vain repetitions. So they prayed to be noticed by men. They didn't really pray to God. They prayed so everybody else could hear. They prayed with vain repetitions, inane babbling, just saying the same thing over and over again. It's all meaningless. Now, Jesus now says, as we get into the text, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, Jesus says, this is how you ought to pray. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So far, we've seen the first line there, in this manner, therefore. So in our last 3 weeks, in this manner, therefore, pray. In other words, this is a template. This is an outline. This isn't the words you're supposed to say. So could one say this prayer and mean it? Sure. Absolutely. But most of us have said this prayer hundreds of times, some of us thousands of times, and as I've talked to you all this week, it's been pretty meaningless. In women's Bible study, we took out that line, your kingdom come, and we asked, what did that mean before? That's what we got. couple said, well, you know, castles and some of the stuff. Really, it didn't mean anything. People that have prayed this prayer hundreds of times, it meant nothing to. So, in this manner, so it's an outline, it's a template, it's how we ought to pray, it's the heart of prayer. We look at our Father in heaven. Abba, Pater, Daddy. That's that loving, caring, relational, intimate God that we pray to. For His people, He uses all the resources in heaven to care for our needs. A very relational God. The kind of crawl up in your lap, Daddy, right? But then quickly, next verse we learn, hallowed be your name. Holy, set apart. You are in a whole nother paradigm, God. You are so holy. So that we don't sentimentalize this daddy thing down to something God isn't. Holy, set apart, hallowed. You are holy and set apart because of your name, because all that you are, the creator, the provider, the healer, the just and right God. The sanctifier, all those things God is. So we set him apart. Last week we looked at your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I thought it was very rich for us last week. Your kingdom come. How does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes. It'll come eventually when Christ returns, right, in the physical. But how his kingdom comes now is spiritually. His kingdom comes via salvation. His kingdom comes as we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. His kingdom comes as we then be sanctified or made holy. So when we pray your kingdom come, we're praying for salvation. We're praying for sanctification that starts with us, that we would be more holy. And that's how his kingdom manifests itself on earth. Your will be done. How does God's will be done? God's will be done through his people, through his kingdom. We talked about last week, you know, like the angels in heaven. They stand at attention, ready to do God's bidding. That's how his kingdom comes. That's how his will is done, through us. As we surrender our wills, if we don't remember anything else last week, there's one will in heaven. God's. There's 100 wills in this room, possibly. There ought not be. There's one will. Lucifer got kicked out for having his own will. I will, I will, I will. And now he's gone, and there's only one will in heaven. So if it's going to be on earth as it is in heaven, then our will needs to line up with God's will. And that's something that we pray when we say, your will be done right here in my life. Line my will up with your will, God. That's how your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I was talking to somebody this week, and they have a sister-in-law. And their sister-in-law was being counseled by people at their church that the reason she had not yet become pregnant was because she didn't have enough faith. And if she just had more faith, so the prayer would be, have more faith. If you had more faith, you'd become pregnant. That's not true. That is just not true. Do you know when she'll become pregnant? She'll become pregnant when God says. You know what her part is in that? Practice 1 Corinthians 7 with her husband. To not withhold, except by mutual consent, if only for a short time, so you offer yourselves to prayer and fasting, and then come back together. So guess what? You don't pray for more faith that you could be pregnant. You don't even pray that you be pregnant. You pray that God's will be done, and that you do what God says to do, and then you trust him for the result. That's the will. The will isn't, I be pregnant because I want to. The will is, I follow what you tell me to do, God. I obey, and then I trust you for the result. Because maybe God's will is they don't have babies. The prayer is not for more faith. The prayer is for more surrender of our wills to his. More trust in who he is. Holy, set apart. Creator, provider, all those things. We trust him. So this week, prayer goes from those Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And now it seems to shift to focusing off of God and his glory onto man and his needs. In verse 11, and do not leave, and give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation. So now it looks like these are man's needs that we start to pray. Jesus moves us into man and his needs. We're still going to see how it's all focused on God and him and who he is. All prayer is going to exalt God. So let's look, let's dig into this verse today. Give us this day our daily bread. We're going to look at three things to understand as we pray this, what Jesus is teaching us here. We need to pray that he give us. So we're praying for God's provision. We're going to look at his provision for what? For our physical needs. And then we're going to look at his, to acknowledge that God, everything comes from God, that God is the source of everything. So give us this day. Give us sounds like Jesus is shifting into where now we get to make demands. Now it's off of, we've appeased God with telling him how great he is and how we want his deal to happen. And now we can turn and say, okay, now it's gimme time. We ask for food, forgiveness, for leadership. Like now it's time to get what we want to get. Well, we know that's not true. If we remember nothing else out of this entire series, prayer is not about us, it's about God. Prayer is not about us, it's about God. So we know it's not true that it's time to start asking for what we want to ask for. What we're going to pray for is God's provision. Pray for God's provision. Prayer's not about us. It's not self-focused. It's focused on God and who he is. There's a couple of quotes I found. They're in the bulletin if you want to read along with me. First one says this, and consider this now. In some congregations, the gospel has been diminished to the mere art of self-fulfillment. Egocentricity is all that is left. And boy, there is so much of that today in Christianity. Where prayer is simply an ego-centered, self-fulfilling, self-indulging exercise to try to elicit from God what I demand. That's not right. All these petitions here, though directed at our essential needs, are ways in which God's glory comes to earth and makes itself manifest. In other words, bread, forgiveness, protection, these things we're going to pray for now, that's how God manifests his glory in our lives. And the fact that prayer has been brought down to, and church has been brought down to, and God has been brought down to, this guy that we go to fill our needs and our desires and our wants, and it's all self-centered and ego-centered. That's not what prayer is. J.I. Packer says this, the prayer of a Christian is not an attempt to force God's hand, but it is a humble acknowledgement of helplessness and dependence. We are not to pray for what we want God to give us. We are to pray in a way that shows our helplessness and our dependence upon him. So we're not making some demand, give us this day our daily bread, like, dude, do what I tell you. We are going to acknowledge our dependence and our helplessness on him. This prosperity preaching and teaching and praying is horrendous. It's horrendous. Jabez's prayer to expand your territory. What if God doesn't want to expand your territory? That was Jabez. That wasn't Mike. God will expand the territory of my life if he chooses to expand the territory. He will expand this church as he expands this church. He will grow his church how he will grow his church. What's our job as elders? To preach the truth. And to function as in the church, as Christ said to have the church function. That's it. This whole prayer to grow this church, you know what? God may not want to. God will grow his church how he will grow his church. So prayer is not a way for us to go to this vending machine God, right? This vending machine God. Push the button and here it comes. I'm telling you, that's what's out there. That's what some of you have been taught how to pray. Pray for what you want. And what gets used for that is John 14:13. How many of you have heard it? And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. And it stops right there. For whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Okay, I want a new Cadillac in Jesus' name. He's going to do it now, isn't he? I want my psoriasis to go away in Jesus' name. And I tag it with that, and then it's going to happen, right? Wrong. That the Father may be glorified in the Son, the only prayer he's going to answer is the prayer that glorifies him. And when you ask it in Jesus' name, you're lining up with Jesus' will. It doesn't mean tag every prayer at the end with in Jesus' name, and then you're going to get it from the vending machine God. You know, the softer version, well, I'll just pray for things that I know God wants me to have. I'll pray for a better marriage. I'll pray for health. Look, God may not want your marriage to be better. Maybe he wants to grow you and sharpen you through it. God wants you to be the husband or wife you're called to be. That's what you're to do, and trust him for the result. Oh God, I've got a big algebra test tomorrow. Help me do well. Really? How about you prepare? How about you prepare for the test and you work as unto the Lord and not unto man and you do the best you can? How about that? Because maybe you're going to flag that test so that God can show you didn't prepare. I'm pretty confident God doesn't care if you get an A or not. Oh, he cares. He has plans to prosper me. That's nonsense. That was a specific promise to a specific people. What's prosper mean? Depends on what prosper means, doesn't it? Paul, Peter, John, Matthew didn't seem to prosper. They gave everything away. Had nothing, a stick in a bag. Doesn't seem prosperous in today's world, does it? So prayer's not about us. It's about him. Prayer should acknowledge God as Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Prayer should acknowledge God as Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. It ought not to focus on our needs rather than on his provision. Jesus, again, is showing us to pray and to focus on God's provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Not to pray focusing on what we think we need or want, on his provision of food, of shelter. Prayer should acknowledge God as Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. It ought not focus on our needs, rather on his provision. Okay, so we're to pray for God's provision. So what? So that he can be glorified. When he provides, he's glorified. What provision? Jesus says bread. Bread represents our physical needs. So we're to pray for provision for our physical needs. Pray for provision for our physical needs. Jesus is saying, look, pray for what God will supply for your physical needs. Pray for what we need physically. Because without provision for our physical being, without food, clothing, and shelter, God's kingdom can't come via us. God's will can't be done via us because we wouldn't be around without those provisions, without food, clothing, and shelter. So in order to be at attention like the angels on this earth, we need to be alive. And the way we be alive is with God's provision for our physical needs. So if we're praying, give us this day our daily bread, we're praying that our physical needs be provided for so that his kingdom can come, his will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. I am ready here to do God's bidding. That's why I would like the provision to bring you glory. Now it's not self-centered anymore, is it? Now it's focused back on God where it belongs. Praying that God will meet our physical needs is about his glory. And it's consistent with his will, as providing for his people is his promise. Providing for his people is his promise. Throughout Scripture, God promises to provide for the physical needs of His people. By the way, not necessarily for others. We'll see some of that. We won't dwell on it today. Not necessarily for others, but for His people, He will provide. Psalm 37, 25 through 27. I have been young, and now I'm old. Now David says, look, I've been around a long time. This is David writing this. He says, I was young, now I'm old. I've been around a long time. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. The righteous have food, David says. The righteous aren't out begging for food. Why? Because God, He is ever merciful and lends, and His descendants are blessed. His people are blessed and aren't out begging for food. It's a good reason to depart from evil and do good. Depart from evil and do good. God will provide. Proverbs 10:3 says, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but He casts away the desire of the wicked. God's people will not be hungry. The righteous soul will not be famished. Jesus in Luke 12, 28 through 31 says this, if then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? So if He provides for the grass, covering for the grass, He's going to provide for you, His people. He's going to meet your physical needs. Verse 29, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Listen, don't concern yourself with your physical needs. Jesus says, don't concern yourself with those things. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, all these people out there are looking for what they eat, what they drink, all their clothes, all their stuff. Your Father knows that you need these things, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. God will take care of all the physical needs of His people that are seeking His kingdom. If you seek to bring God's kingdom on earth, in and through you, He's going to take care of you. Don't concern yourself with it. So when you pray, don't concern yourself with that. Acknowledge you need this physical needs met so that you can bring His kingdom in and through you. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're claiming, this is close, we'll get to name it and claim it in this church, we're claiming God's promise to take care of our physical needs. That's what we're doing. We're claiming His promise by saying, give us this day our daily bread. We're just claiming the promises He's made for His people. We're not claiming God has plans to prosper you. Okay? We are claiming He will provide for the physical needs of His people. So let's consider how God provides. How God provides. God provides in many ways. One way God provides, or multiple ways He provides, is through nature. Through rain and sun and seeds and soil and all the stuff. Reproduction of livestock, reproduction of people. That's how He provides. Supernaturally, God without using any of us. But there's another way He provides. He provides through His people. God pours out His grace, beloved, through us. James 2, 15, 16 shows us that. If a brother or sister, okay? If a brother or sister, beloved, if a believer is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? In other words, James says, faith without works is dead. If you see a brother or sister in need and you don't take care of that need, what good's your faith? God wants to provide for that brother or sister via you, beloved. God wants to provide. So His provision comes through His people, for His people. His kingdom comes, His will is done as we feed the hungry. His hungry and needy and poor and house and clothe. His people. So God's promise to provide for the physical needs of his people is done through God's church or God's people. That model is so broken, the government now does it. We are to take care of, provide for, food, shelter, and clothing for his people. Not for all people. Although, we'll give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. We'll have a ministry that gives out clothes and the message of Christ. But our major focus is to take care of God's people because that's how he provides for his people. Again, in 1 John 3:17, what's it say? But whoever has the world's goods, that's me, that's you, and sees his brother in need, that's me, that's you, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? He's again saying, look, God's saying, look, if you have stuff and you're not willing to give it to your brother or sister, do you really have the Holy Spirit living in you? Are you really saved? Really? Because that's not how it manifests itself, because God will provide for his people via his people. Communism, but not as politics, not as political. Communal living, that's what God calls for. I've said it before, I'll say it again. As long as the Reeds have it, the Gullicksons will have it. As long as the Reeds have it, the Sandercocks will have it. As long as the Bokomas have it, the Reeds will have it. That's how God provides for the physical needs of his people. So when we say, give us, that's not give me, that's give us, that's me, that's you, that's all believers, give us our Father, remember, believers, beloved, all one group, give us our daily bread. And one of the things we're praying is, use us to give us our daily bread. Use me to give us our daily bread. So when we pray, we're praying for God's provision. Praying for provision of our physical needs is affirming God's will for his people. Again, we're claiming that promise. It also lines our will up with his, that we be conduits of his provision to his people. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying, we are claiming that promise that God has made, and we are lining ourselves up to be part of that solution. Give us this day our daily bread. Attend, hup! Hungry brother or sister, I go feed them. Brother or sister without shelter, I find them a home. Ready to feed and care for the physical needs of his people. So we pray that God's provision for physical needs will be poured out in his people. This is where we get sideways in prosperity preaching. It's to pour out into his people. Here's the challenge. The challenge and the prevailing theme out there is pour a bunch and a bunch and a bunch and a bunch into his people. So let's consider how much provision to pray for. How much provision to pray for. Bread. Physical needs. Does that mean steak? Hamburger? Rice? Shima? What's it mean? Does it mean a four-bedroom house? A two-bedroom house? What's it mean? How much provision? Does it mean two pairs of pants? Or 20 pairs of pants? Or 50 shirts? Or 5 shirts? How much? This is very challenging for us in the good old U.S. of A. Very, very challenging. See, I've been to Africa. Whole different concept of how much. Totally different. See, they have two handfuls of shema. And that's how much they pray to be provided for. This is challenging. We're accustomed to a lot here. We need a lot. Our physical needs are quite high. Let's see what Scripture said is enough. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Well, how much constitutes riches? How much constitutes poverty? How much is that? Feed me with the food allotted to me. Well, how much food is my allotment? Is it two handfuls of shema? Or is it a burger and nachos at Governor's? How much? Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Well, too full means we become very self-sufficient and we take for granted and we become so full and so fat and happy, we forget who God is. That's too much. Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. Well, too little is where I don't have enough and so I steal to eat. And by the way, in Zambia, there's a lot of theft of chickens. They steal to eat. That's too little. Too much is where I forget who God is. Just the right amount. Pray for just the right amount. Just the right amount of physical needs provision is what we should pray for. Not so that we're hungry, cold, exposed to the elements, not that. Not so much that we're fat and happy and we're overhoused and overclothed. Not that where we just take it all for granted. Not that much. That's too much. How much? How much? Well, there's no certain number, right? That'd be legalism. There's no number. I got no number for you. But it's a number that God purposes in your heart. And when we pray, it is to line us up with that reality, just give us just enough. Matthew 6. Look, before we go there, my house is too much. The Reed family is overhoused. It's too much. And I'm convicted by that. Best I can do, best we can do is try to use the house for God's glory. That's the best I got at this point. Is to try to use that, allow people to stay there that need a place to stay, allow us to fellowship there, right? Use it as if it's really God's. But we're overhoused. We're overclothed. One of my convictions is to give clothes on the house. I can't give enough away. My closet stays full, thanks to Terry. We're a lot of Grace Fellowship shirts these days. Got a lot of shirts I don't wear. I'm overclothed. I'm convicted by this. My prayer is that God would line my heart up with just enough. And what does that look like? And I wish I had a magical answer for each of us. But I don't. But I don't want to ignore it either. I don't just want us to go on being fat and happy and forgetting who God is. Okay, Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't just pass over. I know you've all heard this. Don't stop listening. Where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. We ought to pray for God's provision to be just enough to do that. Just enough so we can lay up treasures in heaven. Look, some of us are already there. There are people in this room, including myself, we are already there. We got too much. Let's not forget who God is. Let's not become fat and happy. And as we pray, we should pray that our physical needs be met, but just enough. We have so much wealth. You know, I think sometimes in this country we ask our financial advisor, our trustee, or our banker, give us this day our daily bread. Give me just enough off my assets to do what I want to do today. Just enough so I can do what I want to do today. See, our provisions can become distractions. Our houses can become distractions. Our clothes can become distractions. Our eating can become distractions. How much provision to pray for? Look at Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Eat, drink, or clothe, right? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look it, don't worry about your physical needs is what Jesus is saying. Don't worry about your physical needs. Don't be distracted by them. Don't take your focus off the kingdom because you're so focused on what you'll eat, drink, and wear, or live in, or drive. Verses 26 and 32, then he goes off and talks about birds and lilies of the field and how God takes care of them. He says, don't worry about that for yourselves. God will take care of his people. Unsaved people worry about that stuff, is what he says in those verses. Then in verse 33, he gives us the answer. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, don't worry about, don't pray for overprovision. Pray that that's not a distraction in your life. If we're focused on God's kingdom coming in us and through us, we won't be focused on how much we have, will we? Look, God will handle our physical needs. Look, we're to work. Okay? We are to work. If you don't work, you don't eat. And some of our work provides us with a certain amount of money. Or has provided us with a certain amount of money. Nobody's saying, don't do that. But here's the deal. This is the challenging part. Is that God's or is that yours? Ouch. Whose is it? Is it God's or is it yours? Because if you're concerned about his kingdom coming, then you'll use that for that purpose. We've got to shift our focus in our prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Just enough for today. Shift our focus. Count on God to provide, but how much? We should pray for just enough provision for today so that we can focus on his kingdom coming in and through us. We should pray for just enough provision for today so that we can focus on his kingdom coming in and through us, beloved. Just enough for today. Not enough to take care of 20 years in the future. See, our 401ks and our investment accounts can be a distraction. This country, retirement planning, Social Security, I am convicted. I worked in, still work in one day a week. I am attached to a business where that's what we do. Ouch. Right? And my focus has shifted from that. So I'm probably not, I mean, I haven't lost any of my brain, but my focus has shifted. Really, to make rich people richer? Probably not doing anybody any favors. Just enough for today. Not so much that I'm distracted. Ouch. Oh, that God would shift our focus through our prayer. All right, we're to pray for God's provision. Pray for his provision for our physical needs, right? Just enough. Not too much, not too little. Lastly, pray to acknowledge that God is the source of everything. Pray to acknowledge that God is the source of everything. As we pray, give us this day, we are acknowledging that God supplies everything. Acknowledge it. Understand it. You don't supply any of it. Look, we don't make our own money. We don't build our own net worth. We don't do that. It all comes from God. You don't provide your own sense of security. If God took my voice or took my brain, how effective would I be at preaching? So do I get paid to preach and I earn my money? I earn? Who earns his money? God earns it. It's God's money. It's God's voice. It's God's brain. He could take it anytime he wants to. You don't earn your own money. You don't have your own stuff. Jesus says, look, when you pray, thank God for your food and your shelter and your clothing. Really, really and truly thank him. Really and truly acknowledge it's his. Not just some thing you spit out of your mouth. To really that we would get it, Jesus saying, look, it's God providing it. God has to give us this day our daily bread or we won't have it. Listen, hear that. God has to give us our daily bread or we won't have it. Genesis 1:29, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree those fruit yields seed. Whose fruit yields seeds? To you it shall be for food. God says, look, I gave it to you. The bread we eat, the seeds, the livestock that eats the plants that grow, everything comes out of God's provision. He gave it to us. God sustains everything as well. Check it out. If God stopped the rain, we'd run out of food pretty soon, wouldn't we? If God stopped the rain, our food supply would run out very quickly. Do we make the rain come? So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Father God, continue to have your nature work in the way it works so that you can take care of our physical needs because it all comes from you. How often do you really acknowledge and understand and acknowledge that in your prayer or as you walk around? Really acknowledge and understand it all comes from God. It's all about him and his provision. We take for granted our food, our hands, our feet, our clothes, our houses. Everything that allows us to live is from God. 1 Corinthians 4:7-8, Paul warns us there. For who makes you differ from another? Who makes you have your wealth like they don't have in Zambia? Who does that? And what do you have you did not receive? I challenge you, tell me one thing you have you didn't receive, including salvation. You got nothing you didn't receive. Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you did, if you had not received it? You're already full. You're already rich. We are full of plenty of physical needs provision. Our needs are taken care of. So do we forget where that comes from? Don't just pass over this and take it for granted. Do we forget? Do you forget in your prayers where that comes from? Everything you have. You know, Bob, you know how to raise cattle. You only know that by the grace of God. We act like our food's ours, our houses are ours, our clothes are ours. We really do act like that. I worked hard for those things. Man, I've sat with people who call themselves Christians, tell me how hard they work for their stuff. Really? How would you have done without a brain? How would you have done without your hands and your legs and your mouth? How'd you done then? Ah, I did it. I worked hard for it. They're my things. You work, you have, you eat, all by the grace of God. Jesus says, look, acknowledge it. Acknowledge that in your prayers. Acknowledge that in the way you live. God's the source of everything. Remember that. 1 Chronicles 29:14, David says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly? They had just offered great amounts of treasures. He says, how could we do that? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. Anything in this ain't ours. It's not ours. We're just giving it back. It's his. Anything we have. David acknowledges that all things come from you. All things come from God. Look, as we pray, be truly thankful for that, is what Jesus is trying to get us to understand. Be truly thankful for that. Acknowledging who God is in that provision. It's not about us. It's about him. My boys, all three of them pretty much start prayers with, thank you for, dear Lord, thank you for this day. That's a wonderful prayer if you mean it. Because God provided this day. Do you really pray it? Now, sometimes I think my boys just say it because I don't know if I started it or one of them started it, and they just say it. But you know what? Every day, thank you for this day, Lord. Really. Like, I'm not kidding. We sit down to eat. Father God, thank you for this food. Really. Really acknowledging and understanding it came from him. Not just because it's time to pray. Don't bother. God is great. God is great. Good. Let him thank us for the food. Let him thank us. Whatever. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for the food. Because that would rhyme then. That's meaningless unless you mean it. God is great. God is good. We ought to thank him for our food. And really mean it. But I'm afraid we all just pass over that and we don't mean it. Thank you for this day really means thank you for this day. Thank you for this food really means thank you for this food, because God, without you, we don't get it. We don't get this day and we don't get this food. It should be very humbling to thank God for our food. It should be very humbling. Let me say that one more time because I don't think we live there. It should be very humbling to thank God for our food. And if you lived for 6 months in Zambia, as Zambians do, you'd get that. You really would. I really would. Another quote, Thomas Watson. Follow along in your bulletin if that helps you, or just listen. If all is a gift from God, do you see the odious ingratitude of men who sin against their giver? God feeds them and they fight against him. He gives them bread and they give him affront. How unworthy is this? Should we not cry shame on him who had a friend always feeding him with money, and yet he should betray and injure that friend? Thus ungratefully do sinners deal with God. They not only forget his mercies, but they abuse them. And he says sinners. That would not be saved people. Not only do sinners sin against God, even though he gives them everything, they don't even thank him. Beloved, we're not sinners. If we are children of God, then we are saved, then we don't do that. We stop sinning against God, understanding his provision in our lives, understanding he's the source of everything. How can we take all this in? Give us this day our daily bread, God, and I'm going to be nourished so I can go out and sin. Nourish me so I can go sin. Whacked. Give me my bread. But without a thankful heart, you say that. Not even thanking and acknowledging and being appreciative of what he's done in your life. Look, every bite we eat, every shirt we wear is from God. God wants us to remember him and to acknowledge him. He is a jealous God. He doesn't want you to be your own God. He wants you to remember and acknowledge him. And Jesus says, that's what we do when we pray. Look at Jeremiah 5:7. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by those that are not gods. When I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlot's house. I fed them, they sinned. If we're going to pray continually with a thankful heart, we're going to not sin as we pray that thankfulness for provision. Give us this day, Jehovah Jireh, provider. God will provide. Give us this day our daily bread. A heart of true understanding and gratitude of him providing for our physical needs. A true gratitude and understanding and acknowledgement of that. In Deuteronomy 32:15 it says, but Jeshurun grew fat and wicked. You grew fat, you grew thick, you are obese. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. We in this country, in this place, we might be growing fat and forsaking God. Are we obese and fat and forget God? Who provides everything we have? I don't mean obese and fat. Wait, I mean we are so plentiful. We are so physically taken care of, we forget who God is and we forsake him. Are we living ungratefully? Our prayers should acknowledge that God is Jehovah Jireh, without whom we would have nothing. He is Jehovah Jireh, without whom we would have nothing. That's how dependent we are on him. Do we know it and pray it and live like it? Do we know and pray and live like without God we would have nothing? Well, that's what the pagans do. They pray that. They don't pray. They live that way. Some of them pray. Give us this day our daily bread. So as we pray that, give us this day our daily bread. Praying for God's provision. We are claiming God's promise of providing for the physical needs of his people. So when you say, give us this day our daily bread, as we pray, without those words, but the heart that we would have would be, we would be praying for God's provision for his people. We'd be praying that he would take care of the physical needs of his people. And we'd be praying to acknowledge that everything comes from him. That without him, you don't have that food. You don't have this day. I don't have food. I don't have this day. As we radically be challenged with our prayer life, can we actually say we pray in that humble of a manner? Our heart, it's our hearts to be that thankful. Can we actually pray? Look, don't pass over it. Try it on. Can we actually pray just enough for today? Not too much, not too little. Because if we can pray that, why do we look at our account balance in our 401k every day? Why? If we can truly pray just enough for today, not too much, not too little. Closing thought. God promises to provide for the physical needs of his people. When we pray, we should acknowledge his provision and petition enough provision for today. Not enough to make us comfortable or independently wealthy. Rather, enough that we can focus on his kingdom's work, his will be done on earth in and through us. Give us this day our daily bread. Acknowledging he's everything. Claiming the provision that he promises so that we can go do his work. I've heard some pray, Father God, use this food to nourish our bodies, to strengthen us for your kingdom. Let's just mean that. Let's just mean that. Let's not just say it. Let's actually mean it. Use this food to nourish our bodies, to strengthen us for your kingdom so that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Back to the scripture we're in. We're going to read through what we've preached through so far, and let's see how this resonates with us. In this manner, therefore pray. O Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We're going to pray now. We're all going to go to the Lord. Use this as your backdrop and pray.